Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to the Raptors Over Everything podcast, brought to you by our sponsor, KFC. I'm your host, William Liu. On this week's episode, I have both Big V
Punjabi.
What's going on?
And little OJ.
What's up, man? Yo, KFC is my favorite chicken, man. Shout out KFC.
All right. You're trying to get part of this KFC bag, too? What's going on?
I can be bought for anything.
Wow, KFC over KOC.
Out here getting buckets, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, buckets.
We have a soundboard in addition to our usual setup. We have a upgraded mixer, and that's why you heard the drop earlier. So.
If you know, you know, you know.
Real ones know.
Actually, yeah. You know, off the top, congratulations, Matt Devlin, for receiving a broadcasting award.
That's right.
Yeah. No, yeah.
Respect him, though. That was actually one of the greatest calls of all time.
Yeah. Classic moment. One of many.
One of many. Shout out Wale.
Shout out Michael Grange.
Shout out Michael Grange.
Yeah, shout out Grange.
Who else got it? Bruce?
I think Bruce and Laurie actually presented the award to Grange.
So they're like winners and they put on like the Masters green jacket.
Yeah. It's pretty much that's what it is.
So who doesn't have it then? So it's just the three of us, we don't have it?
Yo, that's what I'm basically saying. We need to win best video duel and Vivek needs to win best tennis writer.
Oh.
And that's it. Yeah.
That'd be big.
V shows up in his like Wimbledon with his Wimbledon press credential.
Yeah. Is it like the Teen Choice Awards?
I can wear my Wimbledon hat.
Yeah. V bought me a Wimbledon hat, but his was nicer. But that's a side story.
So. We'll get to that. I showed you the entire rack, and you picked one, and I bought that one for you.
I was probably under the influence of something at that point because of the time difference.
I can't be held accountable for that.
Dion Waiters over here. Yeah. Let's talk Raptors road trip. So far, they threw four games. They're 3-1.
Yeah,
I was talking to V about this right before the pod, but. It's been 11 games. The Raptors have been every single game. They've been in every single game. I think they might have held a lead. The Milwaukee game didn't hold a lead in the fourth quarter.
They cut a 26-point deficit to 4.
Yeah, Milwaukee knows all about 26-4 runs. 26-3, my bad, actually. I don't want to overcredit them. They only had one single made basket over that run. But seriously, the Raptors have been competing. They've been in every single game, and it's been really impressive so far. Alex, I'll start with you. Your grade for this trip so far. I know they haven't played against Dallas yet. That's going to be a tough game. Dallas is a pretty decent team. But I don't know.
Grading them for this trip?
Just for the trip alone right now.
A+.
Break it down. Offensively, defensively.
Wow, I have to break down stuff?
Yeah.
Give
them the grade for offense.
I got to step out for a second. Just got a call to take. Yeah. Offensively, no, honestly, just like overall, you know, we talked a lot. I'll start on the defense. I mean, V had the stats. He was the first one to tweet it out last night. On LeBron James, Kawhi, and Dame Lillard. And I think it's gone around now. Everyone's seen this. And you know, the Nick Nurse and his defense, you know, he's pulling into his Birmingham bag and, you know, just devising these schemes, boxing ones, all this stuff. And, yo, like, for me, you know, that's the big standout, because I'm always looking at, like, big picture stuff, like, where's this team going to be in the playoffs and things like that. And that's what you need your coach to do in the playoffs, right? Like, devise this type of thing, take the ball out of the best guys and things like that.
Yeah.
And I don't know, man. I've been
double team LeBron when it's a tie game. Yeah, and he's the only guy going to shoot the ball.
Yeah, all that stuff. You know? But, like, I was thinking about this watching the game last night, too, is that, you know, just, like, 2 years ago, like, before Kawhi came, you know, we would always wait for, like, the Raptors to just fall apart at some point in the season, right? Like, whether it was regular season, usually the playoffs. But this team just has so much composure.
Yeah.
Like, in road games. And it's, like, very, like, visible compared to what the team was before. And people always talk about, like, oh, what's the true impact of, like, oh, being in a championship run and carrying it over. That's the carryover for me.
Yeah.
Like, these guys are composed and, like, they don't fall apart. They stick to the game plan and all that stuff.
Wow.
That's why I give them the A+. I guess offensively, it's just been, like, a group thing.
Yeah.
You know, Pascal, obviously, I'm sure we'll talk about Pascal. Like, he's been, like, incredible. But, you know, all of these bench guys stepping up has been a pleasant surprise. Deepest team in the league.
Yeah. I mean, I'll give them an A. They dropped that game against the Clippers. Obviously, expectations are super high now. But I think when you look at potentially having a play go for either Siakam or Boucher in that final minute, you're talking about a two-point game where they might have been able to pull that out too. So, but I think, again, to Alex's point, the big thing is they have the confidence that they can weather any storm.
Yeah.
And they have that confidence because of their defense. You know, we talk about the best teams in the league, championship teams, their defense travels, right? And so anytime they're in a difficult situation where you feel like it can get away, it's like they know they can get enough stops to get back in the game. We talked about Milwaukee being up 26, or you talk about other teams going on runs. They know they can go on defensive runs and that the offense will come.
Yep.
And again, offense will always come and go, especially, you know, with the variance of the three these days. But when you can get stop after stop after stop, that's when you know you have an elite team.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, as a whole, the trip so far has been excellent. Offensively, I think, given the limitations in the roster without Kyle, without Serge, like, this is probably as good as you're going to get. I think one thing that's been really standing out is that, like, even if the Raptors don't necessarily have great half-court offense, they're so good in transition, and they make so many defensive plays that sort of spark their offense. Like, recently, it's like Rondé gets a steal, and then Rondé streaks out, and then someone hits him with the pass, and they score. Or, like, Marc Gasol blocks Dame Lillard at the basket, and they go the other way, and they score. Chris Boucher has a huge block, and they score. Like, their defense is so good that it's not a surprise to me that the Raptors are number one in the league in transition scoring. Obviously, they have great transition scorers. Pascal, obviously, is amazing. Kyle's a really good passer in that situation. Also, he's been pretty good finishing. But obviously,
and
he's
the pull-up
out
three.
Of the lineup. And the pull-up three, exactly, right? So there's, like, a lot of things you can do, but I think it's really just the defense. And if you're going to win on the road, you got to be able to defend. And then their defense has kept them in every single game. Even in that Milwaukee game, like, okay, so their defense sort of came apart for a while. Pascal got into foul trouble. They didn't really know where to go. But then as that game went on, I felt like they solved it a little bit defensively.
Yeah.
Right? So, it's been excellent. The Raptors are 8-3 now on the season. And to be honest, they played one of the tougher schedules in the league right now. If you think about it. Like, they've already gone to Boston and played. That's a tough game. Milwaukee. They've gone to Milwaukee and played. That's a tough game. L.A., back-to-back. That's tough. And then even Portland on, you know, playing, you know, in the fourth game of the road trip. Mm-hmm. Portland's like a classic trap game. You know,
right.
There's certain things that Kyle Lowry has displayed in Portland that happen. You know, I've been to Portland recently. It's well-rated. Highly recommend. But, you know, like, it could be a Deion Waiters situation. None of that happened, though. They really played with a lot of energy.
I mean, it might have happened, and they won anyway, so.
Well, you know. Yeah.
My energy seems to pick up sometimes, yeah.
Depends on what you're taking, really.
And plus, they were going into that game. I mean, obviously, they've been without Kyle and Serge, but to not have OG. And again, it's just next man up, right? So
it doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't.
It really doesn't.
And you talked about the defense, getting the steal as a transition game. Part of why they've ramped up the aggressiveness with their defense is because Nick Nurse understands that the half-court offense is going to be tough to come by to get points. So they've ramped that aspect of their game up. They're getting more transition plays. And, again, kudos to Nick Nurse for constantly just finding a way to win, right? That's the biggest thing. I respect so much of what he's doing because he literally will not accept anything as an excuse.
Yeah, and calling guys like Rondé and Stanley out, and even Pascal for his foul trouble, right?
Yeah,
like he set the tone really early, right?
Mm-hmm. Anybody
like from
can get
top
it.
From top to bottom, like, you know, you're gonna have to bring this particular level of effort mm-hmm. if you want to play.
Yeah,
and it's not to say like, I mean, we've seen Rondé bring this energy level on other teams, like, but it's like, you know, he made sure he set that standard high enough so that when Rondé was ready to go, got over his groin injury and had an opportunity, that he would come out and play the way that he did, right?
Right.
And, you know, you see, like, you know, what did he do? Didn't he pull, like, Stanley Johnson, like, mid-possession or, like, call a timeout against the Clippers?
That was hilarious.
The Lakers, it was crazy.
He took, like, three dribbles and Nick was yeah. none of that.
Yeah.
But that's the thing, right? Like, you can see that already paying off.
Yeah.
And I know, like, listen, man, like, championship is everything, but like, this team, I think this season will be more fun to watch
than
last season.
Yeah,
like, compared to, like, just regular season, if you want to say. Because last season was very much like, oh, Kawhi in and out.
Yeah.
When Kawhi was in, it was a different team.
Oh, listen, last season was fun. But last season was fun because you're seeing something completely different.
Yes.
You're seeing a guy who is the best player on the floor every single night.
Yeah.
So you have a confidence in terms of what you're watching.
Yeah.
You're seeing plays like the double block or like the no-look steal, and you're like, holy crap, I've never seen anyone do stuff like this.
That no-look steal is still wild.
I can't believe it. When that happened live,
the man dove backwards.
I can't
believe
it.
Just took the ball away.
And now Jimmy Butler's on his third team after that.
Wow, this guy got stats.
But yeah, I mean, this team, I think in terms of, in just a general life principle, like, if you have low expectations and then they're exceeded, everyone is thrilled. And
I feel like we had expectations for the Raptors coming into the season.
Yeah, but then once
way higher than I think a lot of people.
We did. Yeah. We did. We weren't, you know,
Dennis Scott
and Sam Mitchell predicting them to be out of the
playoffs. Dennis Scott already issued a public apology.
Well, yeah.
Like that's a win for the Raptors.
8 wins in the Eastern Conference you're already in the playoffs, actually.
Yeah. They have to play 300 ball the rest of the way to get home court.
They'll be fine.
But I think the one big difference as far as this regular season being more fun than last is so much of the expectation last year was going to be based on the playoffs.
Yep. Yeah.
And so all the way you were just waiting.
Mm. Didn't matter.
And now this year you look at all the narratives coming in. Right. What can OG be? What can Siakam be? Mm-hmm. Well, what is Nurse going to look like without a bona fide superstar? There's so many things to look forward to this year. And now you can add the new bench mob to the mix in terms of, you know, just fascinating narrative. So I think in that regard, this regular season has already been more fun.
It helps, too, that, like, Pascal has just made this jump right away to being a superstar.
Yeah.
And it helps, too, that guys like Fred and OG have just exceeded expectations. Right? Like, none of the top guys have performed, under to their expectations coming into the season.
Yeah.
None of them.
Yeah, and that's part of what makes it so fun is that
except Marc Gasol. Yeah.
Well, listen, yeah, Marc Gasol might just be what
it is. It's tough
right
now. It's getting tough,
but you know what?
It's getting tough.
He still is a great player. He still has a pride to him. He's playing defense really well. I mean, look,
the defense has been solid.
The defense has been solid.
Yeah. His IQ is enough to keep him on the floor.
Yeah. No more post ups for Marc Gasol.
Yeah.
Until, like, I don't know, man. Just wait. There's no point to it, really. Because you're not creating a lot of great offense. It's not like teams are really, you know, sending extra bodies. And he's not obviously scoring on his own individual matchups. So there's no real use of that. But he could still shoot the three. His three-point percentage actually is pretty decent on the season. He's still playmaking. Like, the Raptors get, like, three baskets a game by just having Marc Gasol stand up top. Two guys cut, like, sort of split off each other. And then one guy curls towards the basket. And then Mark finds him with a bounce pass.
Yeah, he always does his, like, obvious, like, head nod thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The head nod that he gave Kawhi before Kawhi dunked on Giannis.
Do you think it's weird at
all?
No,
there's a reference for all these plays. I love it. That's an actual play you can envision in your head.
Do you think it's weird at all that Mark isn't operating out of the elbows the way he used to in Memphis at all? And I mean, honestly, we saw some of it when he first came to Toronto too.
Yeah.
But I feel like that's completely gone out the window.
Well, the thing with, you know, it is weird in the sense that I can't believe he can't score pretty much at all.
Right.
Like, get his own shot. Like, he can score if he's open, rolling to the basket sometimes. Or he can, you know, catch and shoot for three. But, like, in order to ask him to post up and get his own basket, that's what I'm surprised by because he did do a bit of that in Memphis. But honestly, like, that's just not really what this offense calls for.
Right.
The only guy who really posts up is Pascal.
Right.
Pascal's already doing so much posting up. So you want Mark just on the perimeter spacing.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. No, I was just wondering in terms of like maybe just getting him going this season where he gets those elbow touches where it's the face-up game, right? Yeah. And it's like guys are just running off him. And then, you know, if people are responding to that movement, then he can just take that elbow jumper.
Yeah.
And if guys are open, he's going to find them.
I want to see them let Pascal run the point a little bit more.
Even
I feel
more.
Like every time he's done it,
yeah, it's interesting.
Like when he's just against a defender up top,
right,
like, and he goes downhill,
he's
like
able
he
to
creates,
blow by,
that's
yeah.
it. Like yeah. it seems like an unbeatable play right now.
Yeah.
Right.
Also, just quickly going back to the Marc Gasol thing, if you have Marc Gasol be a featured prominent scorer in the offense like Memphis did last year,
they were terrible.
Oh, absolutely not. No,
dude,
no, no,
they
no.
were they
no
were 20, they were 29th in offensive yeah. rating last year before yeah. the All-Star break, and then obviously they traded Marc at the All-Star at the trade deadline.
Right.
So you don't want to be the Grizzlies anyway.
No, absolutely yeah. not. No, I'm honestly just thinking in terms of like, I guess down the road,
yeah.
in a postseason situation, you want everyone to present as yeah. be presentable as like an offensive threat.
Yeah.
You know,
I don't know. We saw him last year, like Tobias Harris was on him in the post and really didn't do much with it.
Yeah. Again, I don't care about the post. I don't want to see those post moves at all.
Right.
Like I'm talking about that face up game. You know, where he's on left elbow, right elbow. And
yeah,
the guys are running off it.
Honestly, Mark just needs to defend Joel Embiid for 7 games.
Yeah.
And that's it. He'll have earned his whatever $27 million this season.
No, don't worry. Miami will take out Philly.
That'd be great. I can't wait,
man.
Can't wait. Someone slips Joel Embiid a gummy. Dion Waiters gives him a gastroenteritis again.
Actually might make him feel better.
And then Siakam will be honest and be like, don't worry, come to me and I'll teach you. Teach you the ways.
Teach you the ways.
Nick Nurse.
Big V energy is too much right now. Open the window.
Nick Nurse propaganda.
Wow.
You know how we have the Matt Thomas propaganda?
Yeah, the Matt Thomas minute. Propaganda had to step down a little bit last night.
Yeah, for six. What happened to your boy?
The propaganda was not ready.
You got to take away the phone. You got to ground
we
him.
We have removed all his jerseys from the stores.
Extra violin class for him.
Yeah, he doesn't exist right now.
Yeah.
So we're waiting.
That's upsetting, really.
Yeah. Raptors games are not being streamed right now anywhere in the world.
Wow.
Wow.
But that Nick Nurse propaganda, guys?
It's not even propaganda, right? This is straight facts, right?
The
Nick Nurse push. I mean, you keep ignoring that Brad Stevens is just going to get all the American media votes, but...
God. I'm hoping that enough people dislike Boston.
Let's see if Boston keeps it up, too. Let's see.
Yeah.
But
let me just pull up Boston's schedule.
So let's see, like, what do you think?
I feel like Brad Stevens has kind of lost some respect the last couple years, right? And... I think when you can't really manage a superstar, I mean, it seems like Kyrie's having some issues in Brooklyn early as well. So that might not be a Brad Stevens thing, but you have to be able, at some point, you're not going to win a title without a superstar, right? So if you're not able to manage those.
What, you don't think Jason Tatum's number one guy on a championship
come
team?
On, bro. Man. Come on, man. Look at those Jason Tatum hats.
Is he done being an embryo?
No, he's still just dating.
He's like low-key the new Assad.
Wow.
But, I think Brad Stevens is there right now because of the record. But they have beaten some bad teams.
Yeah, you have their schedule up, right? Do they have any statement wins?
Well, obviously they beat the Raptors.
Yeah.
That was a bit of a iffy situation.
But that's
because
Toronto never gets any calls when they're in
Boston. Oh, yeah. Well,
like, I don't even complain about refs like William Liu does.
Wow.
But
you're afraid to speak the truth.
Yeah,
like me.
But in Boston, it's like apparent. Like every time they play,
Boston, it's
the ghost of Red Auerbach comes out.
Yeah. Aside from Toronto, have they beaten anyone like impressive?
They beat Milwaukee. Yeah.
Don't really consider beating Milwaukee to be impressive. To be honest, but yeah,
that's fair. Yeah. They lost to Philly, but other than that. I mean, they beat the Knicks twice. You played the Knicks twice.
So they've beaten teams. They've beaten the schedule that they should.
They've beaten the Knicks twice. They've beaten the Cavaliers. They've beaten the Hornets. Yeah. They've beaten the Spurs, who this year are not very good. They beat the Mavs. That was actually not bad. Yeah. Doncic was Porzingis was really
credit
bad
to their
one.
Start. But
and then they beat Washington.
If you're talking about like a real front runner for Coach of the Year, it'll probably be Monty Williams.
Yeah.
Because
they would need to make the playoffs, though.
Yeah.
They're already down at 6-4 again.
They have to make the playoffs, though.
Yeah. I agree with that. The thing but is, you look at what Phoenix was coming into this season. Yeah. Yeah. No one expected them. You would have had more people saying that they would have been a lottery team again.
Yeah. As that's the Sam Mitchell case, man.
Yeah, it is. Like, it really is.
You have a shit franchise, and then all of a sudden they're competent, and people are like, that must be a miracle.
Yeah, it's like Anthony Parker's here, you know? Fixed everything.
But they kind of do have an Anthony Parker now, you know? Like, Ricky Rubio's kind of an Anthony Parker for them.
Who's their Garbajosa?
Aaron Baines? No, Dario Saric.
Oh, yeah, Saric.
Yeah, Garbajosa is Rosh Monasterevich.
No, but V makes
Frank
a good
Kaminsky
point.
Frank literally on Drive by Nanny.
V makes a good point about the Suns, and the thing is that these awards, you guys know, is very like narrative driven. Right?
Oh yeah.
It's just honestly just depends on if the American media wants to latch on to this Nick Nurse narrative.
Yeah,
and they probably don't because there's just no benefit to doing any pro Raptors.
Wow.
Media push.
Wow.
There isn't though.
Wow.
Why do you think Dennis?
So you are you are willing to speak the truth now.
Why do you think like Dennis Scott can go out there and pick the Raptors to not make the playoffs? Because the only backlash is going to come from an audience that doesn't matter to them.
Why do you think Sam Mitchell can go on NBA TV and pick the Raptors to be eighth, and then they beat the Lakers, and he's like, let me tell you why they were going to win this game.
You should have just stopped at why does they let Sam Mitchell on NBA TV?
Wow.
No, but it's true, though, right? There's no, like, so much of media is just, like, catering to the audience and doing what the audience wants, and there's no benefit. There's just no benefit for anyone to, like, go on the jump to be like, you know, let's start the Nick Nurse Coach of the Year discussion. Nobody cares.
Are there any Nick Nurse sympathizers in the media? I think Jackie McMullen really likes Nick Nurse.
Yeah.
She's talked about Nick Nurse.
I think Jackie spent
some
time with him. Like, Tim Bontemp spent some time with him. But
Zach Lowe covers the Raptors pretty extensively.
Yeah, Zach covers him. Like, I'm sure, you know, he'll have a nice piece about the Raptors when he comes here for Christmas to see his family.
I mean, real talk, Zach Lowe does a lot of the thinking for the collective basketball media.
Yeah, for sure.
Let's be honest. Like, when he puts out a take, people kind of latch on.
He nudges things in particular directions.
Yeah. So, you know, if he says something like that, then we'll see. But
we kind of see the same thing happen every year, right? Where before the season, you'll see the Raptors get written off. And then when they do really well, everyone's saying, oh, we should have seen this coming because Masai always finds players. Mm. And it's like,
they just set up their own narrative.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying, man, like Nick will all for sure obviously get votes if the Raptors are like 50 plus wins. But, you know, he is at a disadvantage for sure.
Yeah.
Like they would need to finish with like the one seed for the consensus to be like,
well, they're not far off from the one seed right now. But I got to say, the Raptors, by the way, crazy stat. They've hit the over on the Vegas over under win total eight straight years.
Yeah.
Mm.
And so they're going to hit it again.
It's 46.
It's like 46 this year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
So they pretty much just need to play like 500 ball. Like 38 and like 33 to hit that 46.
Yeah. Kind of.
They can do that without Kyle.
They're going to hit 50. They're going to hit 50 wins.
Yeah, they're going to hit 50
wins. The problem is, the thing is like the Raptors just like organizationally are better than 20 other teams.
And then they can
also beat the other 10 teams.
They can compete with the other 10 teams
like the Lakers, Clippers, the Bucks, the Celtics, the Sixers, Rockets, whatever. Right. Like there's no unbeatable team.
Yeah, and how many teams in the NBA right now still have like a culture left?
You
know what I mean?
Yeah, like the Warriors when they get their players back.
They're the modern day Spurs.
It kind of is like that, right? Yeah. Like you plug and play guys. Like Chris Boucher is Matt Bonner.
Yeah, Malcolm
in very
Miller
different ways, but also both Canadian.
Bruce Bowen, yeah.
Yeah, you're right. Chris Boucher is like Matt Bonner in the way that Matt Thomas is like Bruce Bowen. Yeah. No, but seriously though, how many teams in the NBA still have culture? Like a program you're going to play that system, right? Like
The Rockets have a culture of just playing offense. Yeah.
The Rockets are disgusting to watch, man.
That's culture.
Disgusting to watch.
Honestly, you know, the Warriors I think are still fine like once all the guys come back next season.
Yeah. But like they're on hold for now.
The Spurs obviously, like,
they're fading.
Yeah, but that's the thing, right? Like it's culture only has it's a limitation, right?
Yeah.
Like when your top players are DeMar and LaMarcus Aldridge in the West, like in the year 2019, sorry for swearing.
No, it's okay,
it is what it is, right?
Yeah, like, it is.
So, and I think that's the thing with the Raptors too is like I don't think it's crazy to pick them to come out of the East.
Yeah.
But the only thing is that, if they're going to lose, they're going to lose for the right reasons. And all the reasons why teams always lose is that they get out-talented. Yeah. But they're not going to get out-played. They're not going to get out-coached.
Yeah. And out-executed, out-hustled.
Yeah. And you know what? That's a really great feeling to have.
Yeah, for sure.
With the team. They remind me a lot of like the Tom Thibodeau Bulls.
where like that their top players are playing 48 minutes a game.
yeah, that plus plus like they would have Derrick Rose go out for like entire seasons, right?
Yeah,
and then they just roll on like 48 wins.
Yeah, right? Jimmy Butler almost breaks out.
We're gonna be in the second
Joakim
round.
Noah breaks out,
but they ran into teams like, you know, LeBron, D Wade, and Bosch, right? And those Miami Heat teams, right?
Pretty much. Yeah.
For me, it's like there's not a team like that in the East.
That's the thing. Like, all the teams are a little bit flawed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, even if we... Assuming no trades get made, which I think there are teams that still can make a couple of moves. I think Philly can make a move. I think Boston... They have some extra picks, but they don't have a lot of tradable contracts.
No,
but
Bill Simmons is always like, oh, man, if we package our, like, 2021st first-rounder...
Yeah, for...
With Marcus Smart...
No, he never
traded
Marcus
Smart.
We can
get Paul George, yeah.
It's like Daniel Tice for... Giannis, Semi Ojeleye for
Do the Raptors have a move in them?
I mean, that's the thing. That's a real question, right? If the Raptors are good enough and they're on the cusp, and this is a year where it's, the NBA title is wide open.
Yeah.
There is no 2018 or 2017 Cavs. There's no 2016 Warriors.
Not even close.
You know what? Actually, I think this is actually a regular year, and those other years were kind of anomalies. Yeah. But nevertheless, the league is kind of open. And you know, there's a chance. Like, I think the tough part is just, do the Raptors have players that in their main rotation that they obviously want to upgrade from? Like, even Marc Gasol, for example, he's underperforming offensively, but defensively, he's delivering what you want from that position.
And you know what you're gonna get from him in the playoffs.
Yeah, like, and he fits. Series. And that's the thing, he fits. He's just not scoring when he needs to score the way he needs to. But also, the Raptors look at him like a third, fourth, fifth option.
Yeah.
He's honestly, Mark might be the fifth option now.
I think on the flip side, you look at it and you say, you look at this rotation now, and it's like, how much are the Raptors really losing in Ibaka's absence? Right? Because when you look at the contract situations with Ibaka and Gasol, ideally, you were going to re-sign Fred VanVleet. So are you going to lose Gasol for nothing? Are you going to lose Ibaka for nothing? And when you look at, most likely, you can get more back for Ibaka than Gasol because of the age.
Not even close.
Yeah,
exactly. Not even close right now.
So,
okay, relax, Jordy.
Wow. Serge takes one of my captions and the propaganda starts.
So, if
trade deadline candidates.
Come on, Rosa.
If you can like replenish the depth or whatever it is, maybe find like a scorer off the bench, that kind of thing, then I think that might be the move to make.
Yeah.
Especially if Chris Boucher keeps playing the way he is.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the other thing to consider is also, if you're looking ahead to the playoffs and you're making a trade for the playoffs, we know that Serge is a pretty good defender.
Yep.
If you want to guard Ben Simmons, if you want to guard Giannis, even Giannis, right? Like, OG's going to guard Giannis probably as a primary matchup. Pascal's going to get a couple of possessions. Mark maybe switch out once in a while.
Right.
But for the most part, when those guys go to the bench or when those guys end up in foul trouble because Giannis is going to foul a couple guys out, then you're probably going to look for Serge.
Yeah. So, and that's the thing. That's like, tough. It's nice to see guys like Boucher and like Terrence Davis do well.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you're talking like playoffs, it's like, do you really, you're going to trust those guys like their first time through, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you want to trust Chris Boucher in the playoffs. You know, because I love what he's doing right now.
Yeah.
It's one thing to like stun the Lakers on the road, which is an impressive game. I don't want to take anything away from it, but it's just different stakes. Let's be real.
Like, no, I agree 100%.
Yeah.
In a perfect world.
Yeah.
Gasol and Ibaka aren't on the final year of their deals.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
You're not
and
even
you don't
having
worry
this.
About it.
Yeah, exactly. You're not even having this conversation.
Well, in a perfect world, Kawhi's still here, and we're the best team in the league by a mile.
You know what? I kind of got over that on this road trip.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't know
saw Rondae Hollis-Jefferson grab 8 offensive rebounds, and you're over Kawhi?
I don't know, man. I just see all this low management discussion, and I'm like, yo, I'm kind of glad we don't got to deal with that like every other day.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
Is he playing? Is he not? Like,
yeah. What did Fred say? He's the
anti-load management award.
But like, maybe buy out.
I might put that on the podcast. That might just be a recurring theme. 3 stars, anti-load management star.
No days off.
Yeah. Like buyout candidates too, maybe, if they're just looking for depth to like add one guy.
Yeah.
The thing is, like, I mean, not to bring up our boy Jeremy Lin, but it's like with guys like Jeremy or like,
I was not expecting you to bring up Jeremy Lin.
Or when they bring, because that's the buyout guy that they got last year, right?
Right.
Yeah,
they had expectations.
Whoa, come on.
Yeah.
Pat McCaw.
Oh, yeah.
Jody Meeks?
Yo, everyone always keeps reminding us online whenever we're like, oh, there's no Kyle, Serge, or OG. And they're like, yo, don't forget about Pat. It's like, Bro, Pat's been replaced.
That's Nick Nurse's burner.
Pat's been replaced by like four other guys already. But like even with Stanley and Rondé, if you bring a guy in like February or March, is Nick gonna trust that guy enough,
right,
to play them? Because it takes a little bit of time. It's showing that it takes a little bit of time for Nick to trust these guys, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So unless it's like a vet guy that you can plug in, whatever, whoever it might be. So I would like the Raptors to get like one more guy.
Yeah, like I feel like another creator would really go a long way. Yeah. Like if Norm Powell was just good Norm Powell every game, I would love that.
It's a tough, that's a hard nosed guy that plays defense that can help create some offense.
That's a lot. Yeah. That's a lot. That's not a lot of players. Yeah. You know what I mean? So, okay, well, looking over this road trip, so you got guys
Andre
like
Iguodala?
That would be nice. But I mean, also, I don't think he creates enough. You know what I mean? But those guys,
I wouldn't complain if Iguodala was like here, but I don't think he's coming.
He's not coming here.
He's going to the Lakers or the Clippers.
Yeah. And then he's going back to the Warriors.
Yeah.
So he can manage his investments. No, but seriously, that's actually what he's going to do. So on the road trip, you got Rondé breaking out. You got Terrence Davis breaking out. Mm. Your boy Matt Thomas had two great games and then one game where, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But that's the shooter. Your shooter.
Matt Thomas is who he is. Yeah.
Yo,
and Matt Thomas defensively in that Clippers game, though.
Bro, every time Lou Williams came off the high screen, like, yo, I swear to God, he spent more time with his back to Lou Williams than with his front.
That was tough. He seemed like he didn't know where he was going.
He was literally a chicken with his head cut off.
Yeah.
There was a play where he was just getting a rebound and he got into someone else's way and then the Raptors lost the ball. Yeah. And I'm thinking,
like, the ball was going straight into Siakam's hands.
Yo, who. Do people not talk to Matt Thomas on the team? Does Matt Thomas have friends on the team?
That's what I'm saying. You pointed that out, and that's actually a really good point. I feel like there's like not a lot of communication.
Who's Matt Thomas's friend? You know how when they ask those little
games?
I think it's like
Malcolm Miller and some of those kind of bench guys.
Your best friend can't be Malcolm Miller. Yeah. Come on.
Well, it's also me, but I'm not technically on the team. But
this is why you got to travel with the team.
No, I start traveling on like the team chart.
Damn.
Yeah. Nick's like, yo, we need you, man.
Is there to translate? It's like when Yao Ming had a translator, but it's just someone to be Matt Thomas.
I'm Matt Thomas'
translator.
Next tweet that comes out of the PR account is about gummies.
It's all in lowercase. It's like, what's going on? Wow. No, but you mentioned this too. Like, Matt's got to be a little bit more aggressive.
Yeah, look for your shot more.
Like, he's the best, I mean, arguably, like, best shooter on the team. Yeah, like, if you're out there for like a 5 minute, 6 minute shift, make the best use of your skill.
Yeah, I mean, this is the thing. The best shooters in the game, I'm not even talking about like Steph Curry or Klay Thompson, but if you're one of these undersized guys, like even Patty Mills, for example, he comes in. Patty Mills he's wildly aggressive. He puts, he takes such aggressive shots that it bends the defense, it affects the defense. Your job as a shooter, not necessarily is to make all your shots, because you're going to have, it's, you know what it is actually? It's a.
I don't even know where
actually, that's not the one.
It's a make or miss league. It's a make or miss league.
It's a make or miss league. But like, for real though, like, you know, defensive, like offensively, like your job is to bend the defense, affect it, and you know what I mean, make the team guard you. And right now, Matt Thomas is just taking a lot of wide open shots, and he's great at taking wide open shots. Amazing.
You see him pass up on a lot of shots that he can be taking.
Yeah, if you're a great shooter, I don't want to see you pass up on any shots unless you're creating.
He loves
like a
to
layup.
Take that one dribble in too.
I don't mind. Yeah, I don't mind. Come in, you know, take that shot. You know, but these guys breaking out, Chris Boucher as well.
Out the of Lou all Marsh guys, debate is not over. Given Chris Boucher's performance this week, I just want to get that on record. Yeah.
Wow.
It is only November.
Wow.
Yeah, go on.
Yeah.
I did not write all this tennis this year to go down like this.
Yo, delete Big V's archives. They are now irrelevant.
You know, in these bench guys, which of these guys would you actually trust in a playoff series?
Rondé.
Yeah.
That's it? So out of the four new breakout guys, you would trust Terrence Davis in a playoff series?
Would have to see it.
If he's playing off ball. Not he's obviously has a lot more ball handling now with Kyle out, but if he's alongside Kyle, you know, to start the second quarter, start, you know, the fourth, whatever it is, I'm okay with that.
I'm with V. I think the key thing, obviously, is defense in the playoffs.
Yep.
I don't know, man. I would still be nervous with Boucher out there. Feel like you could drop like a Bebe minus 10 in 2 minutes type of thing.
Yeah.
Matt Thomas, obviously we've talked about his defense. I think that'll be tough. Yeah. Unless they need offense, unless they're going through like a lot of droughts, I could see him like not being part of the rotation.
Yeah.
It would just
But Jody Meeks would get minutes, huh?
No. Wow, the propaganda is
the Jody Meeks 2 minutes were the most stressful parts of the playoffs.
It was very stressful.
Yeah. End of the first quarter, Jody Meeks would come in. Kawhi would be out, and bro, we would lose that game.
Yeah, we were just trying. We were just trying to get out of there with like a minus five.
Oh, yeah, man. Seriously.
But yeah, I think Rondé, because this is what Rondé does, right?
Yeah,
like this is what Rondé does. Yeah. It's not like he's doing anything extraordinary.
Yeah, and the thing is, if the defense ignores him, well, I mean, is that a big difference? Defense is ignoring him right now. That's why he's getting all these layups, because he's actually so used to the defense not guarding him, he makes himself available, and he creates.
And with this Raptors offense, functionally, like, he's playing the five, where Gasol's on the outside and he's inside, so
Pascal's he's like in a comfort zone.
Yeah, exactly, right? Yeah. So everyone's in the spot where they need to be to be most efficient. So I think it works.
Pascal, OG, and Rondé as like a defensive front court.
Bro. Mm.
That's not bad.
It's looking really nice. All of a sudden. Okay, so
we're
you don't
need a nickname for that.
Yeah. We'll think on it.
All right. Yeah. If people have suggestions for nicknames for that.
Yeah.
What do you guys think about Spicy P and ICV?
Nah, man.
What's ICV?
that's nothing to do with me.
Matt Devlin pulled it out, man.
He said that on the broadcast?
Yeah.
Damn.
The man said
Punjabi
and ICV.
No, I reject that. I reject that one. We gotta work on that.
You don't like ICV?
No, man. No, we gotta work on that.
ICV sounds suggestive.
Yeah, well, I didn't even think about it that way.
Yeah.
It's just not good.
That's okay. Yeah. Spicy P sounds suggestive too.
Yeah. why are you like this?
No, I'm on record. Spicy P could be improved as a nickname. That's all I'm gonna say.
Yeah, that's fair.
I think
it's
fine. It's better than any of the nicknames KD tried to give himself. So.
Oh, man, the servant is
that's why I call Will when he makes me tea.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah, I'm still Alex's intern. You know, it is what it is. When we're at the arena, Alex is just like, yo, go save me a seat upstairs. I'm like, bro, you're coming up in like 5 minutes and there's so many open seats. But he's like, no, send me a seat.
Well, out of the three of us, only one of us is doing this for free right now. So.
Wow. All right, fair enough. One tea coming right up.
Wow. The Earl Grey God. Earl Grey Poppy.
I mean, you could have just came early and got a free lunch.
Yeah.
No, not today, man. It was sandwiches. No,
should we tell the on-air story of how I sold my soul for one samosa?
Oh my god!
Wait, what happened? What happened?
So a couple weeks ago, V posted an Instagram story at the office that they were having samosas on a Friday.
They were celebrating Diwali.
They're celebrating Diwali. Like... Oh yeah, right. Forgot why. So I messaged V and I was like, "Yo, I'm coming right now. Please grab me one."
Yeah,
and he was like,
"No, these were like legit samosas, dude. We're not talking about like lunchroom samosas. Like, no, we're talking about like the dips. Or everything is there."
Yeah, and then V tells me that, but Dan wants you to change your Twitter profile, so it's Yahoo Sports first.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I changed it to 99.8% Yahoo Sports right away, and screenshotted it to V.
Yeah,
all for one samosa.
That's crazy.
I'm telling you,
that's all it took, huh?
KFC, any other brands, you know, I could be bought. Yeah.
Yes,
I could be bought for one samosa. Yeah.
Yo, KFC is huge in China.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's all my massive. All my family. Like that's all.
KFC. I told my parents about it, and they were like, "That's very impressive."
Yeah. They wouldn't know the other chicken brand.
There are no other chicken brands.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah.
You know, but if we zoom out to the bigger picture, actually going back to why the season has been so much fun.
Oh right, we were talking basketball.
Yeah. Well, you know, whatever. We can talk more samosas later.
Sorry, V. Break down the quarterfinals of the Cincinnati Open, or.
No, that's cool. It's cool.
Yeah, what's happening in the Southern Western Open, bro?
Yo, that was months ago, bro.
Simona Halep killing it again?
It's the ATP Finals right now.
All right. If we zoom out to the bigger picture, I mean, we're seeing Pascal develop in real time. We're seeing OG develop in real time. The one guy that I feel like is not, the love isn't universal. The love is universal for Pascal. The love is universal for OG. The love isn't necessarily universal for Fred. It's like we love him when
he
does.
You don't think so?
No, because I think it's like we love him when he does well, and then when he doesn't do well, it's like, well, look, he's too short. He can't be playing short.
You're right, he's not
a starting point guard.
When he gets to the rim and those like, rejections come hard.
People just like, look, man, I think we're at the point now where Fred is becoming like almost a fault line in terms of just like, are you going to be a person that is going to look at things like glass half full or glass half empty?
That's fair.
Because like the amount of discourse I'm seeing from Fred, I think, I mean, obviously Fred is not a perfect player. But let's be honest, Pascal's not a perfect player. OG's not a perfect player. Fred, for what he's done this year, has exceeded all expectations. Yes, he can make layups a lot better. Oh, he can make the mid-range game should be a little bit better. Maybe he can add a little floater or a teardrop. I think it really helps for smaller guards. Like you look at Mike Conley or Kyrie Irving or, you know, Trae Young or Tony Parker, who just got his jersey retired. Yeah, I mean, he can make improvements to his game, but overall, Fred has been amazing. And I'm saying this, like, even outside of the Portland game, which was really good, and also the Laker game, which was really good. But, like, you know, Fred's been really solid, man. And he's a winner. He's clutch.
They've needed him.
All arguably. I'm saying is put some respect on Fred's name.
They've needed him, arguably, to hold him together on this trip.
Bro, right? He's playing 40 minutes. He leads the league in minutes.
Yeah. And with Kyle out, like, he's the only functional, like, point guard.
Yeah, and he's averaging 7.6 assists per game. Yeah. And he's not always having the ball in his hands. This is not like a Chris Paul situation. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, Pascal has the ball in his hands. Mark has the ball in his hands. Mm-hmm. Kyle's playing point guard. Despite all that, Fred is still averaging 7.6 assists per game. One of the biggest knocks coming into the season for Fred was he doesn't create for others. You can't argue he's not creating for others right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think the big thing is both him and, I mean, obviously Siakam's universally loved, like you said, but they're both kind of victims of their own success, right? You
yeah,
look at what the expectations were coming into this season. Yeah. Fred was supposed to compete with Norman Powell for
Nick Nurse ended that like before the second the start of the season.
Exactly.
Like,
right?
He ended that one game in.
But that's how quickly he is able to take whatever he's given to. Like right from day one, from the time he was undrafted and got that Exhibit 10 with the Raptors, he has taken every inch and turned it into a yard.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
This is another moment where he's now looking like a very capable starting guard in the NBA.
Yeah, definitely.
And so the expectations just continue to raise up, but we lose sight of where he's actually come from.
Yeah.
Just, you know, as recently as the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
So
that's a really great point. And also, I think people just like forget that Fred's like the same age as Pascal.
Yeah.
Like, we look at Pascal as a young, up-and-coming, like, 25-year-old player. With Fred, we just look at him as, like, this vet now or something.
This is a mistake a lot of people make, because if you are physically limited, then people all of a sudden think that all your potential is therefore limited, right? You look at Pascal, you look at it. Physically, Pascal can do whatever he wants on a basketball game. Like, he can make every single move. So you don't, you think of him as having more potential, and he does have more potential, right? Mm-hmm. But I think people look at Fred and they see him being small and only see the flaws. And a lot of people that look at Fred and evaluate Fred only see the flaws and they can't get over that. But it reminds me of Kyle Lowry. Like if I don't know, 6-7 years ago, people looked at Kyle Lowry like, this is a dumb end product. He's 27 years old. He's sub 6 foot tall. He gets into, you know, quarrels with his coaches. He's, you know, his weight honestly was an issue back then. His attitude is an issue. This is just what he is. Right. If we looked at it back then, you will never get the subsequent seasons of Kyle where he develops. And even as a 30-year-old, he's growing. Even last year, Kyle was growing his game. And Fred, I see in the same trajectory. His attitude is right. He's great for the team culture. Obviously, everyone loves him, respects him. He's really stepped up as a leader. I'm so impressed by Fred this year. And I feel like out of those three guys, obviously those are the most three important players moving forward is Pascal, OG, and Fred. Like, you know, put some respect on Fred's name, man. The guy just put Damian Lillard in a box and one.
The real ceilings are our minds, bro.
Yo, people were like, Dame.
Oh, yo.
All right. You may leave now. Run it back, Kuro. Take care of the rest.
Yo, Tony Robbins, step aside.
No, people were like, when Dame made that emoji on Twitter yesterday, people were like, oh, shoot, he's going to drop 81 on the Raptors. This guy barely dropped 8.1 last night, man. Dropped 9 points? Come on, man. I didn't want to quote retweet Dame and get flamed. So, but no, come on, man. Put some respect on Fred. And I'm with you, man. Like, when we talk about the core going forward, we should be including Fred.
We should be including Fred, no doubt.
And when we're talking about free agency, forget about, like, Serge and Mark. Like, Fred's the biggest
thing.
Take
care of Fred.
Fred is the biggest thing. No question. If he wants that Malcolm Brogdon contract, like, let's do
it. Give it to him, whatever.
Let's figure out the cap situation, make sure it makes sense, and let's do it.
Yeah. Like, at worst, Fred VanVleet is a guy who you know can be a six man on a championship team.
And listen, man.
Not
like,
a lot of players you can say that about.
Look at the Brooklyn Nets, right? Like, the way that they were able to get. I mean, KD and Kyrie are kind of like one of one cases. But, you know, they talked a lot about, hey, like, we looked at the culture over there. We looked at what they did and stuff, right?
Yeah.
Obviously, that didn't matter to Kawhi. But if you have this in place, right? Look at what they've done with Pascal, with OG and Fred. It's going to matter to someone.
Yeah.
And I know we always joke about Giannis. Well, I'm not joking. But like, if it's not Giannis, it's someone else.
Someone's going
like,
to want to come
it's
here,
it's someone
man.
Else. And Masai's always
said
that.
Situation.
Like, at some point, a superstar is going to realize all of this. And he said that before the Raptors were, like, a competent, like, top three organization, whatever. And now they are.
Yeah.
And, like, at some point, someone's going to come. As early as 2 years from now.
Yeah.
and exactly. And be the Robin to Pascal's Batman.
Wow. But that actually will be a killer team.
Still would like to see Bradley Beal here. I think he would be really good in this like Raptors system.
We got to wait like another 5-6 months.
Pascal.
For him to be trade eligible.
OG.
Yeah.
Giannis. In your defensive front court is insane.
Wow. Rondé off the bench just to be annoying. Yeah. So, yo, y'all thought you was getting a break? Joke's on you.
That is legit scary. That is terrifying.
No, man. Championship culture. Championship attitude.
That stuff matters. Team. It matters.
It definitely matters. It matters. It definitely matters. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and then when we come back, we're going to take Twitter questions. Welcome back to the second half of the podcast. Still here with Alex and Vivek. We are taking Twitter questions. First one from Sasha, my guy. Our guy, really. We all know Sasha. If you each had the Raptors starters, full strength team in Secret Santa, what do you get them?
So maybe for the whole team? For the whole starting
just a starting five. Just a starting five.
Oh, man. I'm not really good at gifts because... I don't buy gifts.
Yeah, like Kyle Lowry, I feel like a golf kind of thing.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Like one of those. I'll give him a free golf lesson from my dad, who's a licensed golf instructor.
Oh, wow. That's
wow.
Yeah, so.
Great gift.
Yeah, I might offer that to Kyle, actually, and be escorted out of the locker room.
Fred Van Vliet, I'm giving him a $50 gift card. I feel like it doesn't matter.
To Shoeless Joe's? Yeah.
Yeah, a $50 Shoeless Joe's gift card.
He's like, bet.
He's definitely taking that. He'll definitely take it, you know.
Oh man,
OG.
OG's hard to
hard
to buy stuff for.
He's probably getting him like who's that girl that he tried to slide in the DMs for?
Danielle? Daniela? Yeah.
Maybe just get her phone number or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do people exchange phone numbers still? I don't know.
Right, we're gonna need Jordy to ask Serge.
Wow! Come on, man. That's not Jordy's job.
Jordy's becoming a media presence.
Yo, he actually is a big. Part of those How Hungry Are You videos.
Jordy's the World Wide West of Toronto.
Yeah. of Barcelona. Yeah. He's really worldwide.
So OG we took care of.
OG, yeah. Just
who's in this fictional starting lineup?
Pascal. No, we're talking about a real starting five.
Okay, so Pascal. I don't know, man.
What do you think Pascal wants? Probably FIFA 20 so he can play
FIFA
with
20.
Jakob Poeltl.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
So maybe some acting lessons.
So Pascal, the only thing I hold against Pascal is that he's a Chelsea and Real Madrid fan.
Yeah, I seen that a while ago.
It's because he's a big fan of Didier Drogba, which I feel like that's at least respectable.
Yeah,
you guys won't even believe that. I have a Didier Drogba Chelsea jersey.
Yo, Didier Drogba's
sweaty. Yeah, should I pull that? Is that respectable in the year?
That
yeah,
yo,
definitely.
When he came on as a sub. When the World Cup was in South Africa,
yeah.
That ovation he got was still like one of
the
craziest things
I've seen. I read one profile about him and I was like, yo, I need to rep this guy.
Nah, he's cool. He's cool.
Yeah, Drogba is.
Yeah.
Drogba is nasty.
So
he's going to be playing for Thierry Henry soon.
So we're going to get him FIFA.
They should just, again, I think Thierry should not coach the team, but just play.
We'll get him TFC season tickets. Yeah.
I feel like they could get that. And then, and then Marc Gasol, man, what's he getting? Marc Gasol getting a pillow.
Like this just like a six pack of something from LCBO. Yeah. what beer would you buy, Mark? What's a good beer?
I'd probably get Mark like some cryotherapy shit. Like.
No, I'm telling
I just
you.
Just wants Mark to be good for the playoffs.
Just get Mark.
Meanwhile, I'm trying to get him messed up. Yeah.
Get Marc Gasol like a spa day.
Yeah.
Like a whole spa day.
Yeah.
Go to Marc Gasol, if you're listening to the podcast, go to Nordique. Wow. Nordique Spa in Hull.
Wow.
It's actually amazing. It's if you've ever been, Nordique is amazing.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
It's like in a forest. There's like a bunch of like salt pools and
Will's
water
showing
pools,
his culture
saunas,
again.
Massages you can get there. It's crazy. Hmm. It's like a resort more than it's like a spa kind of thing. Wow. But it's actually decently priced.
Is this an ad?
Yeah. It could be. It could be. If I get another.
This feels like an ad.
If I get a free spa day, I'll show for Nordique.
Damn.
All right, so there you go. There's Christmas gifts for
The starting five.
The starting five.
Cover everyone, right?
Let's reuse that as a run it back segment.
All right, let's do it. Yeah. Thank you, Sasha. You will be not credited. Next one from Jeff. Other than Kawhi, which former Raptor currently playing elsewhere would you want back on this team?
Oh, Danny Green.
Danny, yeah.
Danny would be pretty good for the team, yeah.
Yeah.
Any obscure ones? Marco Bellinelli?
I feel like a Lou Williams could be pretty nice for this team, to be honest. I mean,
Lou's a little too extreme for me.
He's a little too extreme. You're right.
He in terms of like when he's on the floor, like,
yeah. And in terms of what Nick likes, I don't know if he
Nick
fits.
Would go. Yeah, Nick yeah, would. Nick right. would not. Yeah, be he's, able not, to
he's
move.
Not.
So
he's not a Nick nurse.
Because Lou has outright said that he doesn't play defense.
Hey guys, what about Patrick Patterson? Clippers starter Patrick Patterson. What about him?
How's his plus minus?
What are we doing?
He actually his plus minus has not been great.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Clippers are way better when they bring the bench in.
Yeah, it's just Danny.
Yeah, Danny would be you. We keep talking about adding.
What about Terrence Ross, guys? There's a lot Terrence of former Raptors fun, in the league right now.
No, but we were talking
I'll,
about.
I'll say that for the Locked On part.
DeLon Wright. Oh,
oh yeah, Vivek's a regular Locked
yeah,
On.
Yeah, oh, he's locked on, baby.
He is Locked On. Yeah. No, we were talking about adding one more guy. Like Danny would sound like the ideal guy.
Yeah,
if you could get him.
Yo, Pat Patterson was a minus 12 in 4 minutes and 17 seconds against the Rockets.
Yeah, that's tough.
Ooh, man. He had zeros across the board. Oh, sorry.
He'd be behind Chris Boucher in the rotation. Turnover.
Yeah. Honestly, Pat might be behind Chris Boucher in the rotation. Yeah. PJ Tucker, he's useful, but
yeah,
you know what? PJ Tucker will be some solid on this team.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I feel like other guys on this team kind of replicate what he does.
You really love Rondo.
But I mean, again,
those 8 rebounds from Rondo yesterday just took you, huh?
You know, I'm the biggest bandwagon.
Wow.
I even criticized Matt Thomas today. What a new day.
That is wild.
Yo, did you guys know that PJ Tucker led the league in corner 3-point shooting the last 2 years?
I didn't, but I'm not surprised.
Yeah, same.
That's like his role, right?
And Houston, like, and Houston generates so many. That's open like his
the leader before that was Clay.
That's interesting.
It's wild. Yeah. It's wild. He really does only do like 2 things on the NBA floor.
He's the leader in made corner threes. PJ, yeah.
No, makes. In percentage.
In percentage,
oh, not,
too.
Not yeah. in makes.
Because he's not
I think
even
it was
like
percentage.
Wow.
Yeah, I guess he's a decent 3-point shooter. He's on my fantasy team.
All right. Well, we don't need that. All right.
Yeah, we don't need that.
Next one. I'm sold on this team making the finals. Or
oh, wow. Was that me?
Or
is this me asking myself a question?
No, this is from at LAK5H.
Okay.
I'm sold on this team making the finals, or at the very least being very much in the same tier as Philly and Milwaukee. Are you?
Yes, I predicted before the season they would win 55 and make the Eastern Conference Finals. I was an early adopter of this Raptors team.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm sold on finals, but I would definitely put them in the same category as Milwaukee, Philly, and I would put Miami in that mix as well.
And we've learned too, like
that's the thing. Actually, I think to your point, like I think Philly and Milwaukee haven't impressed the way that we thought they would.
Right,
exactly.
They're not head and shoulders above. Yep. The talent level, I think, is still there, but I think Philly has structural issues. Mm-hmm. I think Milwaukee, everybody on that team got paid. It's a big difference.
It's
a big difference.
It's just a big drop off after Giannis too.
Hey, listen, if you're Chris Middleton and you're barely better than Norman Powell on a good day, and you get $150 million or something, I think it might have been more than that, maybe like 180. But if you get $180 million, you're probably going to be like, all right, I'm just going to chill. If I miss some shots, whatever. You know what I mean?
You're just not that talented.
And then if you're Brooke Lopez and you're getting like a 5-year deal or a 4-year mm-hmm. deal, and you're Eric Bledsoe and you got a deal, mm-hmm. you're all like, yeah, chill. Let me just pass the, yeah. Kyle Korver do the work.
We know with the playoffs too, so much of it is about like how the seeding shakes out. Right?
Exactly.
Like all those years we were talking about, oh, let's avoid LeBron, and then LeBron happens to fall to the 4 seed and sweeps us.
Yeah.
Like think about this like theoretically, if the season finishes and it's like Boston first. Somehow Philly and Milwaukee are second and third, and Toronto's fourth, right?
Mm.
Then suddenly Toronto moves past the first round, beats Indiana, whoever, and then they upset Boston in the second round in the 1-4, right?
God, I'm loving it right now.
Then they
man.
Only have to play one of Philly or Milwaukee.
Yeah.
The joy on
Beast and then it ends right up now? Being Miami.
Yeah. No, but you know what I'm saying, though? It's like everybody just like before the season is like, oh, you got to go through both Philly and Milwaukee.
Right.
First of all, they might not be the two toughest teams to go through.
That's true.
Because you're talking about Miami, maybe Boston, all that stuff. Mm. Second of all, you might not have to see all of them.
Yeah.
Like there's a path for the Raptors to only face a difficult matchup in the conference finals.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Even with optimistic expectations of this team entering the season, I think it's fair to say that we would have still had Philly and Milwaukee above them. Right, it was almost like 1-2 was unattainable.
Yeah,
yeah, like right. That was their own tier.
But exactly. Then when you think about it, though, it's not that bad. Also, I think a lot of teams in the East got undersold. Miami got undersold. Mm-hmm. Indiana maybe got oversold, but they've actually been playing pretty good ball recently, and they're getting Oladipo back. Boston, I think, has been undersold. Well, yeah. That's not true, actually. Boston gets hyped every year, so you know, whatever. But the Raptors are definitely undersold. You know, there's competition in the
conference. It's open. It's wide open.
Yeah.
There's six very good teams in the East.
Yeah. And then the rest of them are garbage.
I just think picking the Raptors to make the finals this year is not as much of a stretch as all those years we tried to talk ourselves into Kyle and DeMar making
There's
the
also not a LeBron in the conference. Like, Giannis is the closest thing to LeBron in the conference. Mm-hmm. And having stopped Giannis twice now, don't forget 2017, the Raptors got by Giannis. Like, you know.
And that's the thing, right? Like, sure, Giannis is going to be the best player in that series. But when you look at everyone after that.
That's what I'm saying. The Raptors will have the second, third, fourth, Gasol, fifth, sixth, seventh best player.
Like,
Gasol versus Lopez, Bledsoe versus Lowry, Fred versus Middleton. Like,
yeah, I'm not afraid of Milwaukee, man. Like, at all. Like, at all. Like, I it's just, you know, obviously there's no Kawhi left anymore, but I think they kind of figured out a strategy.
Man, Raptors really going to make the finals again.
Let's believe, baby. Let's believe.
Get your passports. Get your passports ready, American media.
Oh, they're going to hate it. They're going to hate it.
You're going to be so mad.
Stephen A. Smith going to be held up at customs again.
Yo, the finals like promo image is going to be like Pascal versus Alex Caruso. Yeah, it's going to be crazy. Wow. I don't know why LeBron got left out, but
next one from Adam. When the heck is Jeremy Lin getting his ring?
I don't know.
Are you watching Jeremy Lin? Or is YouTube suggesting Jeremy Lin highlights for you?
No. Just based on I follow a lot of Jeremy Lin fans on on Twitter who like aggregate
me
his highlights and stuff.
Me?
You've gone silent on Jeremy Lin.
Not in the problem.
Release your statement.
Oh, no, not yet. No. Relax. When Jeremy releases his statement, I'll release mine.
Actually, when is Jeremy, like, you know, like, technically going to come get his ring? Because he's not going to be here.
Who knows?
You know? Yeah. I mean,
like, Herbie Kuhn just holding on to it right now? Or?
I was going to make a really mean joke about Stanley Johnson, but I didn't do it. I didn't do it. I resisted. No, I mean, I was watching Jeremy Lin highlights.
Yeah.
Beijing Ducks versus the Shanghai Sharks.
Yeah.
Big matchup.
Wow, that's like Lakers Celtics.
In the CBA, yeah, definitely. Yeah. Beijing
When's
versus
the CBA
Shanghai.
Season end?
We're pretty early.
Who cares?
January, February.
Yeah, I was just thinking about like January, when he could come get his ring.
When the bio guys and all that stuff. No, but like, yeah, like logistically, when is he going to get this ring?
Like in March. He's going to come through in Toronto. He's probably going to come here anyway because he probably likes it here.
You can't ship it because I feel like that's too risky.
Like most rich Asian people, he's going to buy a property and mark him and keep it.
Do you think he bought property while he was here?
I wouldn't be surprised.
It's a smart move. Culturally, this was a great place for him. But
no, for real, it is.
Whatever. He won a ring.
But he's from Palo Alto, man. That place is like 40% Asian.
Yeah.
I was there very recently. And
wow. Showing off your culture.
World traveler will.
Yo, over here. Yeah. Catch me in Mountain View.
Yo, only place you haven't been to is Wimbledon.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I think Jeremy's going to get his ring in March.
Yeah, March.
Unless you and I are going back to China anytime soon.
Yeah, run it back. Finale.
Yeah. I got to go back to get you some more Lucky Strike.
Yeah.
Actually, whenever John Chick goes back.
I got to go back and buy some Houston Rockets merch.
Wow. Oh, man. The Rockets going broke as a franchise is hilarious.
What would you do if you walked into a store there, like a Nike store in China right now, and asked for a customized Daryl Morey jersey? Like, can I get this custom?
Yeah, you won't come back. You know? No, I'm kidding. You will come back. But, you know. It's not that bad, all right, guys? It's not that bad over there. Oh. Yeah.
Release the statement.
Relax. I haven't actually been challenged yet, and I haven't had to. Plus, the issue has died down, at least in the NBA circles. Next one from Chris. Of all the guys getting run due to injury, who do you think is actually showing the most to earn more time in the rotation? So, for example, when OG comes back against Dallas on Saturday, how much is Rondé going to play? And when Serge comes back, how much is Chris Boucher going to play? And, you know, maybe Terrence still has a path to minutes because I don't think McCaw is that hard to jump in the rotation, and also Norm has kind of been, you know, kind of shitty every third game. And so there's an opportunity there. But at least for Rondé and Chris Boucher, how are they going to find time in the rotation?
I think for Chris Boucher, it's going to be tough. But I think Terrence Davis has established that he should be ahead of Patrick McCaw in the rotation. And so I think his minutes will be pretty steady. I think
That's like a platoon situation, too. If you need defense, then you're going with Makai. If you need a bit more offense, you're going with Terrence.
Man, I just want them possibly to just let Terrence
play. Yeah, I just feel like,
let him play.
I feel like there's just so much more to gain from just playing Terrence.
But the thing is, they've invested equally in both Terrence and Makai.
It's not a huge investment.
Both of them are both $2 million deals.
Right.
Yeah.
But, and Terrence is just better.
Yeah, well, yeah. Tell that to Nick Nurse, all right?
Yeah, never doubt Nick Nurse, man. Maybe this Makai thing will blossom.
Yeah, maybe.
It's something about those rings.
Yo, Nick's always right, man. Nick Nurse is right.
I hate that hashtag. I can't believe that's now caught on as that.
Did it catch on?
Yeah, I tweeted out yesterday after the game. I was like, let me give some free retweets. I want to retweet our little Yahoo blurb from Run It Back. Watch Run It Back this week. It was real funny.
And then they did Nick Nurse is right.
I said, yeah, Nick Nurse, you know, blah, 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 coach of the year shit. And then someone in the reply said, hashtag Nick Nurse is right.
Well, it was me.
Yeah. It wasn't you.
So. But I think the one thing that will open up minutes for Rondé is the fact that now with when Kyle and Serge are back, you can take some of the stress off Pascal. And
okay.
So, you know, if you want to bring his minutes down to, you know, whatever it is, 35, 36, then Rondé is going to have an opening there where you've got offense from Kyle, you've got offense from Serge, where Pascal doesn't necessarily need to be on the floor as much.
Yeah, I'm with V. I think Nick will find minutes for Rondé. And, like, Fred and Kyle were already due to, like, lower their minutes already before Kyle's injury. So, like, Terrence, I think Terrence will play more.
Next one from Steve-O.
And, sorry, just to finish up on the other guys, Matt Thomas, Chris Boucher. Those guys, I think it'll go back to what Nick Nurse said before the season where it's like, they might be, you know, just do I need
situational,
a big, do I, yeah, exactly. Situation. Do I need a shooter? Do I need some points?
Yeah.
I think that's how it'll be with those guys.
Okay, fair enough. Steve-O asks, name three NBA players that may be realistic trade targets that would fit either the Raptors' defensive or offensive identity.
Honestly.
So he suggested, for example, Kings, Rashawn Holmes, Knicks, Marcus Morris, and OKC Danilo Gallinari. Out of the three of them, I only like Gallo.
Right.
Yeah. None of those really excite
me. And, I mean, it's not like,
Yeah. Marcus Morris, man, come on.
Nah, man.
We don't need that.
We don't need that preseason bullying mentality.
Yo, him bonking a...
Who did he jab in
Justin Anderson in the head?
Yo, he's setting that Knicks culture. Man. Yeah. That no championship since 1970 culture.
Wow. He fits right in. They call him Marcus No Championships Morris.
I don't know. Yeah. I haven't actually thought about like what the potential trade targets are.
Trade targets are tough.
So the thing is, I think all of us don't want to give up a lot anyways.
I kind of only want to upgrade on the norm position. That's it. But it's not necessary, really. Like,
right.
It's not like the Raptors are one good norm away from winning the championship.
Right.
I mean, beating Milwaukee is different, but, you know.
That's what he's there for, man.
He is. You know, as Draymond said, there are 82-game players and 16-game players.
Yeah.
And then there are 6-game players like Norm who only show up for 6 games of the season.
No, but was the 6-game players crazy? Do we ever mention that Dwayne Casey was an 82-game coach?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I think it's been proven, man. I think it's been proven. Let's check in on what the...
Knicks a 108-game coach.
Oh, the Pistons are 4-8 this year.
Yeah.
Andre Drummond is playing no defense whatsoever.
Yeah, he's averaging like 20 and 20 though, right? Yeah.
Luke Kennard is one of their leading scorers.
Yeah. Luke Kennard might actually be in the running for MIP.
Yeah.
Except when he played Toronto and Fred got into him and he scored like 2 points. Yeah. No, I'm serious. Like,
well, the Raptors have a reputation of shutting everyone down.
Mm. Wow, this team is just not good.
Blake just came back, right? I think
Blake came back for one game and then he rested again. But he came back, he had 19-7-6, and I think in a loss.
I mean, they're going to run, it's going to just depend on, what is it, like Blake and like Derrick Rose. That's their team, and Drummond.
They've only beaten the Knicks, the Nets, the Pacers, when they were struggling, and the Pacers again when they're struggling, so.
You ever watch these other teams and be like, damn, I'm really glad the Raptors aren't this?
All the time, actually.
Yeah, a lot of teams, man.
It's actually funny, most teams don't know what they're doing. Most teams don't play defense. Most teams don't even play like a coherent offense.
The Raptors were once that.
Oh, yeah, for a very long time.
That's the thing, right?
The Raptors learn how to win, and that's organizational culture. They know how to win.
Golden era of Raptors basketball right now, man.
Oh, man.
Golden.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And you think about it, too. Like, post-championship, post-All-Star, or superstar, you know, you look at Cleveland.
Yep.
I mean, shout out John Beilein. He actually might low-key be one of the Coach of the Year candidates right now, too, just because he's actually getting the Cavs to be somewhat decent. It'll
be like an honorable mention.
He's just like a fifth guy that you put on the Quinn Snyder slot. Yeah.
Turn
Tristan Thompson into Carlton Banks.
The Coach of the Year dunker spot. Quinn Snyder.
But you look at the Cavs post-LeBron. Yeah. It's a dumpster fire. You look at the Warriors post KD. I don't even think they're going to be in contention. Well, I'm definitely not in contention this year. Obviously, that's more injury related. But going forward, you look at the depth on that team. It's not quite there. Maybe this year they're kind of developing a couple guys, but I'm still not convinced. And then you compare it to the Raptors, who just think about the players they've lost in the last couple of years. You lose DeMar. You lose Jakob. You lose Jonas. You lose Terrence Ross. You lose DeLon Wright, you lose Kawhi Leonard, lose Danny Green. That's seven. That's a seven-man rotation that will probably contend for a championship. The Raptors lost all those guys in the last 2.5 years.
Right.
Yeah.
And right now they just have a new crop. They just bring them in. Pascal's blossoming into a new superstar. Fred's playing great.
Yeah.
OG's playing great. It's you can't take this for granted. This is amazing. This does not happen for most franchises.
I mean, that's because Masai's asset management is pretty much his biggest strength, right? Obviously we look at his ability to draft players, but when you look at a situation where Terrence Ross's contract is expiring, he gets him a new deal at a manageable contract, and then he's able to turn that into Serge Ibaka. Mm-hmm. You look at DeMar DeRozan, again, that's that was a contract that was coming up. He extends him and is able to turn that into Kawhi and Danny.
Yeah.
Every time he's run into these situations where you're potentially losing a guy for nothing, he's able to re-up them on manageable deals and then just keep replenishing that talent and keep that cupboard full.
Yeah, and then randomly, here's another undrafted guy like Terrence Davis. Now he's pretty much going to be a rotation player.
Yeah.
For the future,
wild.
Why even hold on to draft picks if you can just get undrafted guys?
Yo, imagine tanking. Imagine tanking
Alex Len. Len.
Seriously, you're tanking for Alex Len. You're tanking for Dragan Bender. Yeah. You're tanking for Josh Jackson.
Yeah.
Multiple years, you're winning 20 games a year. No games matter. Yeah. No fans want to come to the game. No one wants to listen to the Suns Reaction podcast. None of that shit.
Suns Reaction.
Imagine listening to the
sponsored
Suns
by Bojangles Chicken.
No, it's not sponsored whatsoever, man. You know what I mean? Imagine doing that and then looking at a team like the Raptors. Pascal Siakam, 27.
Streaker is still waiting on it, though.
Luckily that man is good at Twitter, because otherwise... but seriously, though. I mean, he's watching the Suns regularly. That's crazy. Or even the Sixers.
Swear to God, the other day he put out a tweet. He's like, yo, I'm looking for a bar that has the Suns game on. I'm like, all right, bro, I don't know if that's going to work out.
Damn.
Yeah, you were saying the Sixers too when they did their process.
The Sixers,
Jahlil Okafor.
The Sixers won 9 games, the Sixers won. What was it, 9 or 11 games? I forget what it was, but they won 11 games, and they got Nerlens Noel and Jahlil Okafor,
Markelle Fultz.
Yeah. It's wild, man.
Yeah.
And then finally they get number one pick. They take Ben Simmons, and guess what? The best guy in that draft class was Pascal. And the Raptors got him after winning
the Raptors
53
got him
games
while cashing in playoff revenue.
Yeah, seriously, come on, man. I like Ben Simmons. He's a good player. Yeah. I don't even like Ben Simmons, but he's a good player objectively. But come on, man. Imagine tanking.
Friend of Nav.
That.
Friend of Nav. Ben Simmons.
Yeah, apparently
hung out a lot.
Apparently,
in the
Nav's friends are doesn't not the most.
Nav is like, yo, shoot your shot, bro. Ben's like, nah, man, it's too far.
The Raptors were so confident that no one else was in on Pascal that they picked Jakob 9.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, we got him later.
I was actually, honestly, thinking back, I was actually upset at that draft, because for some reason I really wanted Marquise Chris. Again, I don't know shit, all right?
Yeah.
But I was like, Marquise Chris has way more upside than Jakob Pertl, which he does. But Jakob Pertl's bankable talent. He's productive. Also, he's European, and the
Jakob was
that
a
shit.
Very he'll be ready for the rotation. Type
right.
Yeah,
plug him in.
Yeah. And eventually, Greg Popovich will be like, oh, that guy's, he's not American. Let me trade for him.
Yeah. It's like, I don't want Pascal or OG. Yep.
Yeah.
Shouts to the Shrieker GIF again.
That's great. Oh, yeah. That's an amazing one. I got a European prospect stash. Greg Popovich running over. Yeah, I mean, it's just, we got to be so thankful, man. Last question here from Mark. How much better is the 1920 team versus the 1718 team that won 59 games?
Ooh. I like this team better.
Okay.
Because, well, I was getting into a discussion with a friend the other day. I guess it boils down to, do you think Pascal as a number one option is better than DeMar's number one option ever was? Like, what's the higher ceiling?
See,
well, so far we only have 10 games so far, yeah. Or 11 games. You know, I mean, there's a couple games last year Pascal's number one option, but this is the first official season he's been the number one option. And I've seen DeMar have, in fairness to DeMar, remember that year where he started like crazy and he was matching Michael Jordan records?
Yeah.
He was averaging like 30 points a game.
Yeah.
Having said that, though.
Also, they have a better coach this year.
We can just go position by position if you want to.
I mean, I would definitely pick this team over that 2017-18 team. But again, a big part of why I would pick this team is because of the experiences that they've had the last years.
Yeah. That's true.
You know what I mean?
That and is true. So, it's a different Fred. It's a different Kyle.
Exactly.
It's a different confidence overall.
Different surge. Yeah.
That's definitely a different surge.
This is not LeBron spinning the ball in Serge's face, Serge, you know? This is a new Serge.
Yeah, now Serge is spinning balls in Kyle Lowry's dish. No, it's true. And how hungry are you? I'm not insinuating anything else.
No, we get it, man.
I'm not insinuating anything else.
19-year-old.
Oh, damn.
Recess is over.
No, but okay, we can go position by position. Sure. Number one guy, DeMar DeRozan. Yeah. That year scored like, 24 points a game, but his assists were up around 6.
Yeah.
Pascal this year, 27 points a game. 9 rebounds, assists down to only a 4.
See, I think he's a better overall player.
Pascal's better overall.
Way better
two-way
player.
Two-way player, obviously, defense.
There's no doubt.
And way more tools on offense, man.
That is true.
When did DeMar ever hit 40% from above the break threes?
Never.
That's the one thing. He improved at so many different things.
He did.
And every year it was like, when is the 3 coming? When is the 3 coming? And it never came.
And even the year that it came, it was like 30%.
Remember the year in the summertime where he posted that late night, like 4 a.m. Snapchat story with like the timestamp? And like there was a picture of him. There's a picture of those like shooting machines where like, you know, rebound for you and then it'll pop the ball back out. And he took like 700 threes and made 60% of them. And he's like, yo, look at me working out. I'm like, that's not that impressive.
But remember the 27...
if it was Matt Thomas posting that at 5 a.m. in the morning and he hit 99%, I'm like, that's cool.
Yeah.
Maybe he hit 60%
in an empty gym.
Come on, man.
But
you can't come home and brag to your parents about 60.
You think...
you're starving for a week, man.
I want some Asian parent to file a complaint at some point. But
about that 2017-18 season... The big thing with DeMar was the development in the playmaking. And then he went through that stretch where he was shooting threes all of a sudden.
And then it
came out later that Masai and him had that huge argument.
Masai's like, yo, bro, I'm going to trade you for Paul George right now if you don't shoot threes.
Yeah. And then he did it for like a month and it was like,
he only shot 30%.
Yeah.
He shot it, but...
No one really respected it.
I think people made a big deal when he made the threes.
That one game where, again...
when he dropped 52 on Milwaukee.
On the Bucks. I was just going to say, it's always the Bucks that get sun in all these scenarios.
And then JV post game with the...
Oh, yeah, 52 on the piece of paper.
That game, he hit like 5 threes.
And Giannis still has to go back out and greet the fans. Yeah.
Oh, man. Embarrassed.
Imagine how many times JV would be doing that this season.
Yeah, bro.
But by the way, underrated killing the Bucks moment, the Bruno debut. When the Raptors were up 50 points on Milwaukee.
Yeah, that's right.
50 points heading in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Landry Fields had a putback dunk when it was a free throw for the Raptors.
Yeah.
Landry Fields wasn't even on the free throw line. He was above the three-point arc, and he came in and put a two-handed dunk like he was Michael Jordan.
Is it safe to say the Raptors own the Bucks?
Yeah.
100%.
Is that a true statement?
The amount of times we have destroyed the Bucks.
It's not an actual rivalry till... both teams have actually won against each other.
Yes. It's like the Raptors never had a rival with
The Raptors were never the Cavs.
No.
Like actual rival.
No.
Yeah, that was like...
We're just a little brother.
That was LeBron playing like at recess. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Giannis is now Siakam's little brother.
Wow.
Wow.
Wow. Slander V.
Wow.
Yo, one trip to Wimbledon.
The
comparison.
Back to the question. Right? Yeah. I think we agree that on the whole... Pascal's a better player, two-way player than DeMar DeRozan as a number one option. Number two option, Kyle Lowry versus Kyle Lowry. To be honest, it's kind of very similar Kyle.
This Kyle Lowry is pretty good this year.
It's pretty much the same Kyle, really. Like, he has kind of defied aging. Also, that was the first year he started stepping back and scoring.
Right.
More of a three-point shooter. And so I think that's probably comparable number twos.
Yeah.
That was the first year that the minutes were way down, right?
Yeah, that's true. Number three, you got Jonas versus Marc Gasol. it's kind of a tie. Jonas does a lot more offensively. Marcus
Jonas
does a lot
more. But the thing is, in the playoffs, you're taking Mark, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Jonas better for the 82 games.
But, okay, so you're taking Mark. So already, you're already two of the top three are already better than 28, 17, 18.
Yeah, and you gotta talk about the coaching difference.
Surge is better than Surge back then. Yeah, weirdly enough, but Surge is it's not even close.
For me, after the Pascal over DeMar is the number one option. To me, is Nick.
Nick over Dwayne Casey.
For me, that's the biggest thing.
OG's better than OG was as a rookie.
Here's the best way to put it, man. 17-18 wins more regular season games. Nick wins the series.
Yeah.
Wow.
No, it's true.
Wow. That was another question we got, actually, was how many playoff series would Nick Nurse have coached the Raptors to victory in the playoffs?
I don't think he gets past LeBron.
I don't think he gets past LeBron, but I don't think the Raptors get swept.
I don't think they take
seven. Do they win that game one?
Yes, because they probably make adjustments in the fourth.
Yeah.
Or they win game two at least.
Well, you know, part of it is also, again, it's also a mentality thing too.
That's the thing, right? Like, you look at the way they collapse in that game coach. One. Yeah.
You also take on the personality of your star. Like, no offense. Like, I love DeMar DeRozan for everything he did in Toronto. Like, he absolutely is a legend here. But at the same time, he had real limitations. Every time in the playoffs, this man would shrink. This man would disappear. And all of a sudden, what are you supposed to do when your number one guy just disappears?
When your number one guy is ejected for fouling Jordan Clarkson.
In the second quarter, man.
Like,
so now on, you got, what if I love Siakam could score on that team the way he could score last year?
With Nick too? And we add Nick? So we basically just time travel back.
I mean, we did have Nick. Nick was just, you know.
Listen, man. I mean, that Cavs team was not good, but
it was not good.
Jarrett Smith shot 78%.
There's no way that series should have been less than six games.
No, it should have been a seven game, and then LeBron. It should have been what LeBron did to the Celtics in the next round,
right?
Where he just beat them by himself, over seven games.
Bojan Bogdanovic and Thaddeus Young forced a game seven.
Yeah,
we're talking about Marcus Smart and Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum forced a game seven, and you're telling me that 59 win team couldn't do anything, man, not even win one game? Man,
coming off that,
and
Pacers,
then the man who got fired after that was salty about being fired. Bro, come on, have some self awareness.
Pacers, after that Pacers series, I was sure the Raptors were gonna beat the Cavs. Like, this is it.
By the way, that game seven was real close in that series, and I was praying.
I know.
Praying for the Pacers to win.
Yep.
And then someone afterwards was like, oh, I want to play the Cavs. I want to see how far the Raptors progress. And I'm like, you're a dumbass. You pay
your $500 to go watch the Raptors. Just have LeBron shoot fadeaways in your face, courtside.
But for three quarters, it looked so good. It was like, here it is.
They should have never surrendered. That's the thing. When Dwayne keeps like, you know, a couple tips going away, maybe the whole series is different. First off, the series is not different. All right? You lose one game. It's not like LeBron's going to be like, well, I can't overcome a one game.
And you know what? I hated all the excuses that were always made.
And beat. There were hated up like 50 points.
That's the biggest change.
If you got beat, you got beat, man.
It should have never come down to that.
You can't stop. You can't always be like, make or miss league if we make a couple more shots. Like, no.
Hold on.
Like,
it's a make or miss league.
Okay, here's the other one. So say the Pacers beat the Cavs in that first round, and we assume that the Raps get past the Pacers in the second round.
You can never assume.
Yeah, but let's assume.
Dwayne ekes it out.
Do the Raptors make the finals that year? Do they beat the Celtics in the conference finals?
I don't think so. I actually don't think they beat the Celtics.
You don't think so?
In the final. In the conference finals. I don't.
The young Celtics without Kyrie?
Yeah. Oh, man. I don't know.
Yeah.
Just because I feel like, mentally alone, to get past that Cavs team would have taken them to another level.
And the Raptors would have had home court, for whatever it's worth. I don't know.
Yeah,
that's the thing. LeBron and the Cavs.
And then if you think about that, if they make the finals, does Masai still trade DeMar after they get swept by the Warriors in the finals?
I think what Masai was trying to do in that DeMar trade, not just getting Kawhi Leonard and Danny Green, those are very, very important motivations. But I think there was also the fear that, like, are you going to have to pay DeMar's next contract? Yeah. Because if DeMar's still here and the city loves DeMar and you've done some things.
But think about the backlash.
That's the exact same problem the Spurs are facing right now.
Yeah, that's why DeMar's on the trade market, because Spurs are like,
But think about he got backlash even after trading DeMar after they got swept. Imagine trading him after they made the finals for the first time.
Honestly, Masai's such a boss, he probably would do it.
He probably would have still done it.
Yeah, but
then he probably wouldn't fire Dwayne.
Bro, he had the bunker down, though. He'd had to go to, like, Bessarian Station and where nobody goes and just hide there.
Yo, that's where my sister lives. Shout out.
She's the one person that goes to Bessarian.
Yo, I go there when I see her, man.
Is that where the IKEA shuttle goes to?
Yeah. That's where it is. No, but it's a lot of what ifs, man.
It really
keeps
is.
Dwayne, and then if he keeps Dwayne and still gets Kawhi, do they win last year with Dwayne?
No,
oh, man.
Do they make really the final? Do they make the finals with Dwayne?
Honestly, these conversations are just making me happy that they got swept.
Yeah, that's why we're having them.
In the end, everything worked out, and the Raptors are NBA champions. Yeah. And even though they lost their franchise player, or not even franchise player, they're their best player, they're still competing. They're still battling. They're still
not
winning.
Even competing. They're contending, man.
Yeah.
They're contending. Come on.
I'll get there eventually, man.
Will is not on the train yet.
I'll get there eventually, man.
Speak the truth, bro.
The offense in the playoffs is going to concern me a little.
I had to give Will the Messiah speech in the morning.
Come on, man.
Yeah, you did.
Come on.
And by morning, you mean afternoon.
What else do you need to see, man? What else do you need to see?
Yo, bro, I'm up until like 3 a.m. in the morning every day. I mean, so is V, but you know.
What a great episode of Primetime Sports.
Yeah, this is as long as Primetime Sports was. It's been like 3 hours, but... Thanks to both of you for coming on the podcast. Is there anything you guys want to plug?
Watch Run It Back, please.
Watch Run It Back, okay.
Yeah. Read my stories on Yahoo Sports Canada.
What's the latest one?
Terrence Davis.
Hey,
Davis. I'm a V stan, man.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. Alex, what's going on with the Leafs? No, I'm kidding.
That's big for the brand.
Yeah, no more hockey, man.
How did you know so much about the Leafs?
I'm on Twitter all the time. Yeah.
Too much.
I see what people talk about. Mm. Ask me a football question. Try to have a soccer Premier League discussion with me right now.
Okay. Who's winning the title?
Liverpool, man. 8 points clear. Come on.
Ooh. Wow.
Come on, man.
Yeah.
Come on. Are you
Jeez.
Don't sleep, man.
This guy really knows.
Don't sleep on Alan Shearer, you know? Don't sleep on Michael Owen, you know? Is my man David Seaman still in that?
Yo, what?
Yo, this guy's just naming off the England team.
Yo, all my cousins, you know
from,
Asians.
From World Cup 98.
Yo, exactly. What's
Robinho saying?
Yo, get a rune in here, man. This guy thinks he's a Schwab. Let's go.
Wow, this man name dropping Cafu. All right, that does it for the podcast. Thanks to Alex and Vivek for coming on the show. Thanks again to KFC for sponsoring the podcast. Again, KFC is sponsored. The Raptors Over Everything podcast this season. So thanks everyone for listening, and we'll be back next week.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.